That's amazing. Here's the V1 buzz bomb I was talking about. There's another, the V1 and another with a Medusa head on it that Kati painted, doing some crazy stuff. There's the flame hurricane making a 25 or 30 foot ball of fire. So you kind of get the picture. I mean, we know at SRL, we try to use all kinds of technology. I mean, frankly, we're in the business of putting on, you know, performances that entertain people. It's an entertainment business, really. You know, it's not educational. It's not, you know, it's not like we're training, you know, the, you know, people for a future job or something like that. Although, you know, maybe someday that'll be the case. But really, it's about entertainment. And so the technologies we use are, you know, crude, you know, but they're proven technologies to entertain people. I mean, you can take a V1 jet engine, and if you point it at a bunch of people and fire it, people are going to, you know, you'll entertain people, I guarantee. But if you take, you know, if I turn this computer around and start taking it apart and showing you the inside, you'll just think that I'm a meth head or something like that. And you'll probably leave, you know, like immediately. And so that's the problem with a lot of modern technologies. They just don't have much entertainment value, at least not yet. And so we stick to the tried and true things. So that's the goal of it all, to try to create an impression, which you can only really do by doing something really original, really sticking your neck out, to try to create something that really will, that people will really remember, that's really different from all the other stuff, and that hopefully will be inspirational in the way that other things were inspirational to me, that were really original when I was like a kid and snooping around and getting ready to go in all the bad directions and everything like that. You know, that's another thing that like parental types always have said about SRL, that the really good thing about it is it keeps me off the streets. And you know, that's the first SRL machine. So, I didn't have any money. How would I make something like this? You know, I had a background in fabrication and stuff like this. Where do you think all those parts came from? Well, I'll tell you, that's another part about SRL and like doing this kind of thing. When you don't have anything, when you're starting with nothing, when you don't have anyone really supporting you, you know, monetarily, no sugar daddies, sugar mommies, or anything like that, no trust funds, I'll tell you what I did. You know, I noticed that there were all these big factories around. And I noticed that it didn't seem like they had much security. And I said, maybe that's because nobody really thinks any of the stuff in these breweries has any use value anymore. And maybe they're just waiting until they can build the Costco there, which is what they did, where this brewery was on 9th Street, you know, the first one I saw. And I said, you know, I bet you could just go in there and just take that stuff. And so I did. I went in there and I just started taking stuff. And I thought, hey, you know, there's that thing in the back there that could make, you know, that could be like the drum and the belts on there. Well, you could put, and this is what happened for the first show. For the first show, I went up in a warehouse and I shot some pigeons. I know, uncool, bad scene, but I did. I shot some pigeons, you know, and I put them in, there was a gas crisis at the time. I put them in little doll suits that like of an Arab sheik, and then I had them on there. And what happens is that's a timer in the front, like an old-time computer back in 78. When you press the button, what happens is that belt indexes one turn, one of the dolls falls on that conveyor belt, it goes through that plexiglass door, the door closes, it goes into that chamber, and in that chamber there's a big metal blade that's really sharp. And that's spinning around, that gets turned on, and it chops it into pieces, and because it's a fan, it blows everything up into the plastic so you can see it. And then it goes down into that little chute there, and then it catapults out at the audience. And the reason that was the first machine was because now you're hearing stuff that no one really hears. No one really knows this stuff. But the reason that was the first machine was because I was, you know what? It really is about impracticality. It's about things that don't work right. But here, you know, The conundrum here is the paradox. I want to create a paradox. The paradox here is that you've got something that takes things apart. It's like it's made like a manufacturing plant, and in fact, it was made from parts that were taken from a manufacturing plant. But here it is tearing things apart and demanding that manufacturing thing. So I, you know, I was 25. I thought that was pretty clever at the time. I don't know. What else? I thought it was kind of cool. And so that was the first machine. But that's why I did this particular machine, because I wanted to make something that tore things apart in the way that I was always told I had to put things together for the greater good. And I wanted to put things, take things apart for the greater good. Can you see? Can you see what I mean? Can you read that? The vision, what's the visual language of that? We need some theoretical input here. And we're back where we started. This is the only machine at SRL that never got used for anything. This machine, this was like a helicopter that ended up being remote controlled. You can see I'm running it over there, hiding. And it goes up and down really good, but it also goes sideways really good. I almost got killed by it, so it's been hanging up in the corner. But it's the only SRL machine that never got used. That's amazing. Here's the V1 buzz bomb I was talking about. There's another, the V1 and another with a Medusa head on it that Kati painted, doing some crazy. For the principles of orders, but it took me a long time to get them. This is another example of the places that really pushing the envelope will take you, and it's taken me to jail. But this time I didn't go to jail, but almost. In this case, what happened is we were desperately looking around before a performance, trying to find stuff to use in the show. No money, no money, not much time. You want to make a show, you got a couple thousand people there. If it's not entertaining, they're going to say, what a bunch of losers, You got a bunch of machines laying around and they can only do one thing. And you've got to distract people from the fact that they're just kind of stupid machines. So you got to come up with some gags, right? And so we were scrounging around behind some place, me and a couple other guys, Matt Heckert and Eric Werner. And it was a place that made cans. And we were, kind of in the fence and kind of inside this area. And I opened this box, and it's got 300 of these in it. And I was like, wow. And they were just the casings of it. And I said, you could do something really cool with this. And so what I did was we filled them all with plaster that looks remarkably like TNT. And we put fuses in them all. And at a certain point during the show, we had a big metal plate attached to it and a big, 20-foot long machine with a magnet. Picked it up, hung it over the audience. There was strings on there with razor blades connected to it so people could cut open the bags. They cut open the bags and all these bombs came out. And, people thought they were real. There was explosives going off all over the place. Well, I had one that was real with real high explosive in it. And I waited till the end of the show and I lit it and threw it near where these were. And everyone saw it explode, and so naturally they assumed it was real. Now, that just seemed like a cool thing to do, and I knew it would people, and really I didn't think any further than that. I thought, this is a cool thing to do, This is gonna be fun. People are gonna really think they're bombs and stuff. Well, what happened, and this happened a lot of times at our shows, is things really got out of hand. But what happened is people, next second I looked, 20 minutes later, every one of these things was gone. 300 of them were gone. And I was like, huh. And me and the crew are standing around drinking beers. And I was like, wonder what's going to happen now. And I didn't have time to think about it. So the next morning, we're cleaning up 8 or 10 in the morning or something. I look around and someone goes, hey, what are all these cops doing here? And we look around. We're in this big parking lot. It's about a square block. And I see police all over the place. And I'm like, wait a minute. What are they doing here? And next thing you know, a cop came up to us and he said, I just don't want anyone to leave. Everyone just stay here and you know why we're here, right? And I went, no. And he goes, do you know anything about these? And he handed me one of these things. And I said, well, you know, no, I don't know about that. What's that? And he goes, well, we're finding these all around town, and people are trying to blow up things with them all around town. And right now, I've got 50 officers all over town trying to find these things and stop them. I was like, huh, wow. And I said, can I look at that? And I've got proof. Mike Dingell was next to me when this happened. And I looked at it, and I was right in front of the officer, and I looked at it, and I said, what is this white stuff in here? I said, you know, this stuff looks like crack. And the guy just, like, his buddy, like, lunged at me, like, to get me. And so we were still playing it off as a joke at that point. He says, well, I just want you to know that we're, you know, I know where you, you know, we've got your address, and this is not over yet, and you're going to be in deep shit because of this. This is really a bad thing that happened. I was like, whatever. And then what happened is it just went on and on and on. All the news media, the Chronicle, all of the TV outlets were all reporting this whole hysteria. I mean, it was a whole hysteria. Nobody was saying that they were hoaxes. People were just saying that, like, they didn't go off. And it just got more and more crazy. And, like, reporters were coming to the shop and trying to get in, and the police were calling, like, every 10 minutes and screaming at me on the answering machine. And then finally, it just kind of disappeared like a storm. But, again, you know, part of the trade-off was when you sort of release that much energy in that short of a period of time, all kinds of really strange things start to happen. And somehow, which is what's really weird, and which always leads me to believe that really the purity of it is still maintained. And, you know, but it's part of that, you know, it's partly the process of, like, setting up the shows. I mean, it's so complicated. Again, it's so complicated. We have so little time, we have so little money, that we all just about go crazy before the shows. And that puts you in a certain state, a state that you would think would be really dangerous, and a really, you know, common sense would just say, this is a really stupid thing to do. But, you know, it isn't. It's a funny thing. It isn't stupid. I mean, knock on Formica. What it does is it lets, you know, at least this is my theory, and maybe someday someone will figure it out, but my theory is that by getting yourself tired and kind of, what happens is you start to dream in synchronization with the machines and the devices. And I know it just doesn't happen here. They just have OSHA rules and stuff like that. But people who are working on really complicated stuff, like anything designing something that's there's no plan laid out, you know, people stay up all night doing it. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you can do. You can't do those kind of things in an 8-hour day. You can't really do something different in an 8-hour day. You've got to, you know, it takes 18 hours. You know, it takes putting yourself in sort of a semi-dream state. And, you know, and people launch rockets, people fly jets, people do all kinds of things. And somehow, which is what's really weird, and which always leads me to believe that really the purity of it is still maintained.